Amen. A couple years ago, we did this church-wide campaign called Reach the City. And we had little stickers and we had little items to give to people. And we were focusing on how to reach this city. And the great way of reaching this city is with the love of God, demonstration of God's love in practical ways. Brian mentioned this morning just a simple way of thinking of others instead of yourself. And he said that, you know, he had gone to Lowe's and he has this in his mindset that when he leaves and he exits out of Lowe's, he looks for someone that might need help. Someone that just looks around the parking lot might need help. And he found someone that needed help and he did that. And you know, that kind of mindset is how we demonstrate the love of God in our city. And that's how we can reach the city. Now, it is very difficult, probably overwhelming, if I was to say, yes, this week, let's reach the 5,000 people in Camden. Wow, that'd be really overwhelming. 5,000, Pastor, are you kidding me? I can barely reach my neighborhood. But, you know, what if we just said, you know what, Lord, my life, just give me one. And I'm thinking of the movie that Shannon mentioned a couple months ago about a Private Ross, and how he saved so many people's lives. In this movie, and what just really got me, and just I can still remember, I can picture his in the movie, his hands are all bloody, and he's holding onto this rope, and he's lowering a fellow service member, fellow soldier, and he's lowering him down this cliff, and he's just saying, just one more, Lord, just give me one more. Just give me one more. And that just kept going on and on. He just wanted to save just one more. God, just give me the strength to save one more. And he kept doing that. And so if we could just focus on reaching the city, just God, just give me one person. God, just give me one moment. God, as I walk outside the store, just give me one person that I can minister to, one person that I can touch, one person that I can help, one person I can speak to. We can reach this city. But the thing is that this month, the theme is reach the city together. I've heard a preacher say that sheep reach sheep. Sheep make sheep. And as we look at everyone in this room, we are all children of the Most High God. We're all followers. Hopefully, we are all followers of Jesus Christ. Listen, if you're not a follower of Jesus Christ, just pay attention and listen what the Spirit of God is saying to you today, that hopefully at the end of the service, you'll be able to say, hey, you know what? I don't have it all together. I thought I knew Jesus, but you know what? I really don't know Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I want to surrender my life and give my life to Him. And we'll be glad to pray with you. A pastor's job is to equip the saints, to teach the saints, to encourage the saints to live the gospel. This is one of the reasons why I'm so excited that God gave Shannon and I this vision that we are all of us to discover God's purpose for our lives. All of us to develop godly character and relationships, and for all of us to deliver God's message of hope. We as a body of believers here at 433 West King Avenue, Kingsland, Georgia, we need to reach the city together. Everyone say together. Together is important. Together is important because there is not one person that isolates themselves. We all need to come together to reach this city. The reason why we're here. The reason why we're here is to discover God's purpose for our lives, to develop godly character and relationships, and to deliver God's message of hope. Maybe the reason why you're here is someone's going to take you out for dinner afterwards. But listen, this is the reason why we are here, to discover, to develop, and to deliver. Let's go to Acts chapter 9. We're going to look in Scripture about a group of people who came together. They came together to reach a city. Acts chapter 9, verse 26. And it says, and when Saul had come to Jerusalem, Saul had already had a close encounter of a divine kind, and he met Jesus, and he came and he surrendered his life to Jesus and follows Christ, and now he's preaching Christ. And so when he had come to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were afraid of him. If you don't know why they were afraid of him, let me just tell you, he was arresting Christians. He was actually standing there. He was an accomplice of a murder, the murder of Stephen. He was standing there and he was watching Stephen get stoned. And people, that's the reason why people were afraid of him. And they did not believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas, man, he was a good guy. I believe that Paul was very glad that Barnabas was there. Barnabas was there to say, hey, y'all don't need to be afraid of him. Hey, let me tell you what I've been seeing. So Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, and he declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. So he was with them at Jerusalem, coming in and going out. Verse 29. And he spoke boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Hellenists, but they attempted to kill him. When the brethren found out, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him out to Troas. Then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified. And walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied. Father, we thank you for your word today. Speak to our hearts. Holy Spirit, give us revelation of God's word that we would receive, truth and wisdom that we could apply to our life today. In Jesus' name, amen. Ministry together. Why together? Well, you know what? You can get more accomplished together than by yourself. I'm not sure how many of you ever had to clean your whole house all by yourself. But you were glad that when you had people come over and help, a lot more got done in a much quicker time. Ministry together. Why together? There's more people that we can reach. There are people in your workplace that you can reach that I could not. There are people that you've known for many years that you can share truth with, that if I was to, it'd probably go over their head or in through one ear and out the other. Together, we are all responsible. Everyone say all responsible. Say it like you mean it. All responsible?
All responsible.
Yes. Together we are all responsible for telling and sharing Jesus. Slide two, please. Together. You know, God gave me this vision, and it was just a picture. And a picture that I believe God wants me to just kind of help you have the same picture. If I can get six people, I don't care who, men and women, come on up, and then just come on up here and just get in a circle. Six people, come on. Adults, teenagers, come on. Six people, and then just face one another and just get in a circle, not a square, okay? Circle. So God gave me this vision of a circle. And to keep from hands getting sweaty, just lock arms, just lock arms. All right. So in this circle, God showed me we minister together and we can reach the city together. And in this circle, there are people that we're facing one another, and everyone's facing inward. Now, without, you know, laughing or whatever, just look at the person across from you and just connect eyes there. All right. This circle is supposed to be what the church is supposed to look like. That we come together. Now, this is not the only aspect of the church, but the body of Christ, the body of believers, Christians coming together to encourage one another, to connect with one another. And you know, I've heard and I've read the statistic that 20% of the people in the church do the majority or all of the ministry at the church. That leaves 80% not doing anything. 80%, well, let me just correct myself. Because 80% could be young, immature believers, just young in the faith. 80% could be not even believers, just people looking in. Because even scripture, when Jesus was preaching on the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, he says that the people on the outside will be able to see on the inside what the Christians are doing, and that they'll be able to give glory to God. So people on the outside will be able to see. And so maybe in this church, the statistic, it's not our church, it's a statistic. It gives us an idea of what really is going on. 20% is doing the majority of the work or all of the work. So therefore, in my math, there's 80% left. I want to be able that this church break the mold or not even be close to that. And I don't know what the percentage is, but when we think about submission support, I asked our church secretary a couple of months ago, give me a percentage of how many people in the church, members and non-members, how many people in the church support missions? You know, it's not even 20%. How many people give to missions? Shannon and I, our heart are for missions. The outside these walls is our mission field. It's the state of Georgia, the United States, the world is the mission field. We got to have a heart for what God loves. And I mean, God doesn't want any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. So we all need to look into our hearts, not just our billfolds, but look into our hearts and say, God, what am I passionate about? And I would love for our church to be able to just never even get close to that statistic. And again, I'm not saying our church is at 20% or it is a part of that statistic, but I don't want to even get close to that. Can I hear an amen? And so when God was giving me this here, just for the sake of this illustration, just back away. There you go. Now you guys are still there, leaving this opening here. This is what happens. People isolate themselves from the church, probably because they didn't like the color of the shirt, maybe the music they were listening to, you know, maybe the food, you know, that we're all different. We all come from different backgrounds. Some of you are vegetarian. Some of you are not. Some of you like country. Some of you don't like country. We're all different. But what brings us together is Jesus. The love of Jesus, the love of God that has been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. That's what brings us together. So when we isolate ourselves, we're not doing what God wants. When we isolate ourselves, we are actually putting ourselves in danger. But you know what God does? And I've seen this many times before. Lori, can you come on up and just go right in that circle? God always just brings somebody else. Somebody else to fill the gap. And it's amazing when I look around this whole room here. There are people that I remember when you first came. Some of you were here even before I got here. But when you first came, and just the difference of, I mean, how God brought you and your family to this church and plugged you in. Now, if you haven't been plugged in, you might want to look at yourself and say, is it me? But you can't blame the church. Well, the church there's nobody there that connected with me. Well, did you connect with anybody? Like that thought. I'm not sure if any of you have ever had that thought. Well, no one said good morning to me. I didn't feel welcome. Well, how many people did you walk up to and say good morning to? You see, it goes both ways. But I've seen it that God brought somebody. And then, you know what? Praise the Lord. Come back into the circle. Now there's more people. That's fine. Now he's no longer isolated. So God showed me this vision of a circle. And in this circle, within the body of Christ, we are able to reach this city together. This body of Christ, this body of believers here at Hidden Treasures, we connect with one another. Yes, there are differences, but Christ brings us together. And I pray that we will. Now, this is one thing. When I count to three, everyone just put your hands down and turn the outside. So turn away from everybody. All right. The more we connect and the more we get together like this, when we come to church, we're a part of Bible studies. We're a part of Bible study groups. We get together for coffee. You know, I know that there's two gentlemen that they get together for coffee quite often. That's awesome. That's connecting. We need to do that more often. We need to do that with more people as much as we can. Connect with people. One, two, three, turn around. The more we connect with people, the more that we are going to be able to reach the city, be able to reach outward. You see, a lot of times church people think that the church is just us coming together. No, the church is when we come together, the church is evident when we go out, when we face outward, when we go into our communities, our neighborhoods, our workplaces, wherever we shop, and we minister to the people that need to know Jesus Christ. So the more that we stay connected, the more that we're going to be able to reach out to others. Round of applause for all my volunteers here. Thank you. Reaching the city together. Now, how many of you have a boat or have had a boat or you've docked a boat before? Shannon and I, we went to Fernandina for a day or so. We just got alone. We went ahead and prayed, and I was watching this guy in Fernandina, and he was docking his pontoon boat, and it was one of those charter boats, and he was docking it by himself, and I was watching him because he would go up and then kind of back away, and because there were other boats around, so he was kind of having a difficult time, and I thought, I wonder how much faster it would have been if he had somebody there to help him. I mean, he did a good job. He did it by himself. He finally did it, but it took him, you know, a couple of minutes. And I have a quick video just to share with you. Now, of course, in this video, this guy does it by himself, but we can't reach this city by ourselves. We have to do it together. We have to come together. I mean, Christ is what brings us together, and we need to reach this city together. Amen. So only in movies, only on a video, I'm not sure how many times they had to, how many takes they had to do that, but we need one another. And the fact of a Lone Ranger Christian, that's dangerous. Lone Ranger Christian, person who thinks, you know, I only need myself. You know, I can do it alone. It was mentioned this morning that kind of mentality is prideful. I don't need anybody. I can do it by myself. That's not how God, you know, instituted his body to be. That, I mean, even when it mentions about the parts of a body, that the nose can say, hey, I don't need you. I got it. I'll do it all by myself. And people in the church can have that same kind of mentality and miss out on what God wants to do in them and through them and with them as they are connected with others. So here in Acts chapter 9, the leadership, at first they were afraid and they were fearful of Paul, or Saul as his name was, but God, the Lord changed his name to Paul. But the leadership in Jerusalem, they were afraid of him, but not until Barnabas went ahead and stepped up and said, hey, I'll vouch for him. I've saw what he's been doing. And let me tell you what God did in his life. Let me tell you what God is doing. And the leadership in Jerusalem sends out ministers to preach, teach, share, and demonstrate the gospel. The gospel, which is the good news of Jesus Christ, the gospel that God loves, God saves, and the Holy Spirit empowers and leads believers to live committed lives that bring glory to God. This is what the leadership in Jerusalem did. They sent out ministers. Let's go to Acts chapter 11, verses 22. You see, it's the leadership that appoints, approves, and anoints. And this didn't just start here in Acts in Acts chapter 11. We can look at how Aaron the priest was anointed, at how Saul was anointed to be king, as David. Matter of fact, slide 3 real quick before we go to Acts 11. David is anointed king. I mean, it comes down from God. The anointing, the appointing and the approving comes from God, and it works its way down. Someone had to anoint them. Someone had to anoint David to be king. So Acts chapter 11, verse 22. It says, Then news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. When he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them, all that was with purpose of heart, they should continue with the Lord. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. Then Barnabas departed for Tarsus to seek Saul, to connect himself with Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. So it was that for a whole year, they assembled with the church and taught. Now they weren't by themselves in an open field, but with the church and taught, and great many people. And the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. Barnabas was sent out to check out and find out what was going on. But then he connected himself with Saul, and they went to Antioch. They connected themselves with the church, and they began to teach for a year, it says. And in that, because of that, they were known as Christians. They were known as Christians in Antioch for the first time. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through 16. And Joe, if you can have that in the English Standard Version for everyone to read there. Ephesians chapter 4, it says, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith, not singular or individual, but to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to see to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So that we no longer be children tossed to and fro by waves of carried about by every wind of doctrine. Oh, but I know to do this, but I know that I can do this. No, it is by the leadership and the appointing and the anointing and the teaching and the equipping, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. That's the goal. All of us, that's our goal. From whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint which it is equipped, which when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Not my words, but God's words. That we are all to be equipped, that we are all to grow, we are all to glorify God in Jesus Christ. Let's go to Acts chapter 12, verse 25. Again, still talking about Paul and Barnabas. Acts 12, verse 25, and it says, "And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry. And they also took with them John, whose surname was Mark." Chapter 13, verse 1. "Now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manian, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, 'Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them.' Then having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. And when they arrived to Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. They also had John as their assistant." Their first journey together to reach cities. Again, Lone Rangers. A Lone Ranger understands, or a Lone Ranger understands that I can do it my way. I can do it by myself. One understands the responsibility here in this journey, and they all come together with this understanding that they all have to come together with this responsibility to reach the city for Jesus, to share and to share Christ, and to be the example of living out Christ to these people. And this is how the cities were changed. The cities weren't changed because they had magical, smoke, or because they had, they looked flamboyant and their clothes were so great and mighty. I mean, it wasn't because of what they had, it was because of what they said and what they did to glorify God and to share the truth with those. Acts chapter 14 continues, verses 8. They're in a town called Lystra. "And in Lystra, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting, a cripple from his mother's womb, who had never walked. This man heard Paul speaking. Paul, observing him intently, seeing that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, 'Stand up straight on your feet.' And he leaped and walked. Now when the people saw what Paul had done, they raised their voices, saying in the Lyconian language, 'The gods have come down to us in the likeness of men.' And Barnabas they called Zeus, and Paul Hermes, because he was the chief speaker. Then the priest of Zeus, whose temple was in front of their city, brought oxen and garlands into the gates, intending to sacrifice with the multitudes. But when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard this, they tore their clothes and ran in among the multitude, crying out, saying, 'Man, why are you doing these things? We are also men with the same nature as you. We're not idols. We're not gods. We're just like you. We're men. But we preach to you that you should turn from these useless things to the living God who made the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all the things that are in them.'" You ever come across somebody who believes something and it's like totally out in left field, without a glove? It's totally far from scripture. That's your opportunity to say, "Whoa, wait a minute. That's not true." Kind of like the thought or the idea that everybody goes to heaven. "Hey, I'm sorry, man, but you know what? That might be a good name for a movie. But Jesus Christ died. And that Jesus says, 'I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And whoever comes through me will get to heaven.' Hey, Jesus is the only way. He's the only truth. He's the only life." I understand that, it's a comfortable saying. It's a saying that society has really held on to, that everybody goes to heaven. But man, I'm sorry to tell you, but that's not true. If that was true, what is the purpose of Jesus dying? If everybody goes to heaven, why did Jesus die then? Why did he say, "I'm the way, the truth, and life"? Why is there only one way as far as what scripture says? If that's true, that everybody goes to heaven. So this is what they were doing. They found out they were preaching and they were teaching, and Paul saw this guy who's lame. He tells him, "Hey, stand up. They were just doing what believers do, telling people about Jesus. This is a prayer that I hope that you'll, you know, take a part of as being your prayer. But God, help me not to be afraid in a moment that a thought comes to my mind to go up to somebody who's rubbing their neck and say, hey, is your neck hurting? I'd like to pray for you. Hey, you know what? Let me go ahead and pray for you in Jesus' name. Thank you, God. Now, some of you are like, I would not be able to do that. No way, no how. Well, you know what? Quit trusting in your own strength. Quit looking at yourself and look to God. Quit saying, no, I'd never do that. Oh, that's so far from who I am. Quit saying that and start praying, God, give me strength. God, give me boldness. God, I don't want to care what other people are saying about me or think about me. But God, I'll step up to the plate and say, hey, can I pray for you? I see you're rubbing your neck. Is it all right if I pray in the name of Jesus? God, I pray you'll touch this person's neck. Lord, I don't know what's going on. I don't know. But God, you know everything. And in the name of Jesus, I pray that their neck would be healed in Jesus' name. And you walk away. Now, this is the troubling thing, is that you walk away thinking, oh, is it really going to happen? It's not you. It's not your power anyway. It's God. It's up to God to do that. You just have to be obedient that when God starts to tell you, hey, pray for that person. Hey, go ahead and share a word with that. Well, I don't even know them. You want me to tell them trust in God and not in your own self or not in money? I'm in the middle of Walmart, aisle 8, and you want me to tell this person? If that comes to your mind and it keeps coming to your mind all the way to the end of aisle 8, turn around and go up to that person. But start praying now. Start talking to yourself now and saying, in Jesus' name, God, I pray for your boldness. I pray, God, that you'll use me that way. And this is what they were doing. They were just talking about, they were talking about Jesus in this town called Lystra. Paul saw this guy who's lame from his mother's womb. And he goes up to him and says, hey, stand up. And the guy stood up. That's not Paul's ability or power. It's God. That's not something that Paul had to worry himself with. That was God. That was God. All he was doing is that when it came to his heart, it came to his mind, he spoke out. And now it's God's turn to do the miraculous. But they were just doing what believers do, being readily available to share and to act. You know what? Let the Holy Spirit take care of the rest. Amen. But here they suffered persecution because what I want to get to is verse 19. Because there were Jews from another city that found out what was going on in Lystra. So they went to all the bullies and these troublemakers went to Lystra. They were from Antioch and Iconium, verse 19 says. And they came there, having persuaded the multitude, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, where's Barnabas? Where did he go? Did he escape? Was he faster? Was he a faster runner than Paul? I mean, you know, I don't know, but he's not there. Paul's the one who's beaten, probably because, as it says before, he was the chief speaker and they called him Hermes because he was the chief speaker. Maybe because he was the one that was always speaking out loud. Maybe that was the reason why they stoned him. They dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. They left him there to die. Verse 20, however, when the disciples gathered around him, oh, hey, Paul, here you are. They found him. He rose up and went into the city. The next day, he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. So they go from Lystra, they go to another town called Derbe. Verse 21, when they had preached the gospel to that city in Derbe and made many disciples. They're doing this together, y'all. Connected with each other, connected with the Holy Spirit. They made many disciples. Listen. They returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, the very same city that he got beaten up at, the very same city where the troublemakers came from. They went back, but this is the reason why. Verse 22, Paul can't do this by himself. He needed his team, his missionary team, where there were people with him. Yeah, we have to see ourselves doing this together. Verse 22, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, saying we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. So when they had appointed elders, and this is what happened. In this town called Lystra, there were elders appointed. There were in every church. So it wasn't just one church. It says in every church. So that means that there was plural. There were other churches besides just one. They had appointed elders in every church and prayed with fasting. They commanded them to the Lord. They commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed. Listen, when we get this in our minds, in our hearts, When we close our eyes, we're able to see ourselves. We're able to see this church doing God's miraculous by just doing what believers do. Tell people about Jesus and demonstrate God's love. Like going into a parking lot and looking to see who needs help. I heard a sermon from a preacher on television and it convicted me. And so now there are times when I go, I have my buggy, I'm going to the car, I empty out my groceries, I put the buggy back in there, and on my way back, I see that buggy over there all alone by itself. And I heard this message, just being a servant or being helpful, the person who has to gather all the buggies later on. And I can't walk away. Sometimes I can't take another step. So I was like, all right, I go get that other buggy and put it back and put it in. It's just serving. Some people are like, well, why are you doing that? That's somebody else's job. Well, it's somebody else's job, yes. But if that was my car that was parked right there, I would like for someone to move it so that the buggy doesn't make another dent in my car. But I'll go ahead and put it back in its place. But just doing what believers do and then being readily available when God says something to you in your ear, say something, go up to that person. That person can barely get into that seat. Go help them. That you will go up there and you'll go help them. But that you're, again, still readily available to share something with them. Listen, we need to reach this city together. They reached the city, and even the city where it was the first time they were known as Christians. Why did that happen? Because one person was just reaching the whole city? No, there was more than one person. And here in this room, I see people that love Jesus. I see people that I don't know where your spiritual walk is. I don't know where you're at with Christ. But one thing's for sure, he died for you. He died for a reason, so that you would know him, so that you would know the Father in a relationship, so that at the end of your life here on earth, you will have the opportunity of going to heaven. If you trust in him and rely on him for all of yourself, for all that you have, for all who you are, that you will rely on him and trust in him with your life. He died for that. And that is a great responsibility of ours to go and share that with other people. So we must reach this city together. Slide four. I think I missed slide three, but slide four. It says, they preached the good news in that city and won a large number of disciples, then returned, strengthening and encouraging them to remain true to the faith. Remember that circle that we had? And they were all connected. They were all facing each other. Paul made sure that they would stay that way. That's why he went back into the town that he got beaten up at. That he was left for dead. He went back into that town to strengthen the believers. Hey, you know what? Yeah, I got beaten up, but you know what? I'm living for Christ, and I want to encourage you no matter what. I mean, you know what? He had such weight on his words because he experienced it. He lived it, and he comes back to the town that he got beaten up, and he's still proclaiming the gospel. That would encourage any believer. Hopefully it will encourage you that regardless of what you go through, man, it can't be anything worse than Paul getting beat up and then left outside the city, left for dead. And then he goes back into the town to tell and encourage the brothers. Hey, don't quit. Hey, keep the faith. Follow Jesus Christ. Elders were appointed in every church and they prayed and they fasted. Man, revival. People's lives were being changed. And this is what I pray, that our church, that we come together and that we reach this city and that it becomes a part of you. It becomes your prayer. It becomes something that is a focal point of your mind when you go to the store, when you go to work, that you will reach this city. We will reach this city together to strengthen and exhort. They appointed elders in those churches. They prayed. They commended. It says that they commended. They honored them to the Lord. Slide five. I came up with this little acronym, of course. Sorry about the PowerPoint, but I told Shannon, I said, it's not cheesy, is it? She's like, no, it's not. But anyway, together we tell the good news of Jesus. Together we observe those divine appointments. Together we got to go. Together we are to encourage other believers. Together we train in the scriptures. Listen, if you're not a part of a Bible study, get a part of one. There are women's ministry Bible studies. There are men's ministry Bible studies. There are Bible studies going on for youth and even adults throughout the week. Be a part of that. Listen, if you don't come to church Sunday night, I encourage you to come, especially tonight we're having communion, but even on Wednesdays as well, I just challenge you to come. If there are some difficult times, maybe you got to get up early in the morning, just say, God, just I'm going to give you one Wednesday, God, but I need the strength the next day, God. I just want to come and be together with my family so that I can grow, so we can connect, so I can connect and we can grow together. It's important that we come together. Together we hold each other accountable. Listen, there's someone here today that you don't see. Look, give them a call. Pick up the phone later on today. Now, don't throw your Bible at them, but pick up the phone and encourage them and say, hey, you know what? We missed you. Hey, you know what? I just want to let you know that, you know, I didn't see you. You weren't sitting here in your same seat. Just want to share, you know, it was a great message and talked about together. And hey, you know what? If there's ever a time that you want to get some coffee, hey, call me. I'll be glad to meet with you. Connect with them. Let them know that they're missed. So together, hold each other accountable. Together, we enter heaven. I pray that this be true. All of us in this room, together that we will enter heaven. And together, we rejoice that Jesus saves. We did that just a little while ago. And I just want to close with this. God brought Shannon and I, or God brought me to this place. I met Shannon and I started coming to this church. Now, yes, it was in my mind, you're just going to this church because you met the preacher's daughter. But after I got to know Jesus Christ and understood what my life is supposed to be about, I knew every time that thought came to my mind, it was a lie. God brought me to this place. Now, I don't know what lies you're listening to, what lies you're believing, what lies you're holding on to. But know this, God knew where you would be in this particular day, and God brought you to this church. I don't believe that God brought you to this church so that you could be isolated and disconnected from the body, from this body. Now, I know that there are other churches in Camden, other churches in this world. We are all a part of the body of Christ. But here at 433 West King Avenue, there is a group of believers called Hidden Treasures Assembly. And if God called you to this church, it's not so that you can isolate yourself and sit off on the sidelines and allow other people to get involved and connected and do the work. And you say, hey, well, that's just not my response. It is your responsibility. And don't listen to the lie. Well, I don't connect with anybody. I don't have any similar. You know what? There are a lot of people in this church that you are not going to have some similar things. But it's OK. Opposites attract. You have something to talk about. You have something to learn about somebody else. But to be isolated and separated from the church, that's not God's desire. That's not God's plan for his body, for an ear to just go ahead and just be off away from the body. That's not God's desire. So connect yourself with this body. Connect with people in this church. And listen, this is a loving church and a friendly church. If you haven't noticed it already, there are people that you can connect with. There are people you could pick up and call. And listen, if you haven't been calling somebody lately, maybe you need to be that person that picks up the phone and calls and starts calling and connecting, reminding them, encouraging them, telling them about the men's Bible study, telling them about the women's Bible study, telling them about church, telling them about communion tonight. Listen, there are people that are not here. They don't know. They may not have seen the church calendar. They don't know that there's communion tonight. Hey, call them. Hey, you know what? There's communion tonight. The family of Hidden Treasures is going to get together and we're going to do what Jesus told us to do. We're going to remember what he's done and we're going to take communion. Hey, I want to encourage you, come tonight. We need to look at ourselves, not as individuals, but look at ourselves as the church, the body of Christ, doing what God wants us to do, reach this city for Jesus. Bow your heads with me. Father, we just come to you and we thank you. Listen, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want to encourage you that you're here and you're listening to this message, and God is giving you the opportunity today. Today is the day of salvation. And although all of you have plans of what you're going to do after church, God already had it planned and he orchestrated this plan that you would hear this message. You would receive this opportunity to surrender, to say a quick prayer and say, Lord, forgive me of my sins. I believe that Jesus died on the cross for me. God, I believe that you raised him from the dead. God, I surrender my life to you in Jesus' name. A prayer of you surrendering your life to the one who gave you life and the one who wants to give you eternal life. that can be possible for you today. Also possible that God orchestrated and created an opportunity for whoever you might be. You're sitting on the sideline, or you've disconnected yourself from this body, and you just come just to come. You just come to sit, smile, shout amen, or just to shake some people's hands, and then that's it. God has more for you. God wants to do more in you and through you. And it is amazing to God that you would come to his house but not want to be involved in the thing that he has for you, not just in this building, but more importantly, outside this building. So God is giving you the opportunity of just repenting, saying, God, forgive me. I've disconnected myself from people. I've isolated myself from what you want to do in this church. But God, today I commit myself to do what you want to do. God, there are some things that you have for me, and I don't want to miss out on it. So Father, forgive me and help me. We got to reach this city together, church. This is your opportunity to respond to the Holy Spirit. Respond to the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.